I want to talk this morning on some principles for prophets and some, if you will, principles also for preachers. Now, I say that to you as fellow prophets and fellow preachers, some principles, if you will, of powerful preaching and prophecy. And I want you to be careful not to think, well, this just pertains to someone like old Father Pope up there because he's a preacher and I'm not. No, you're a preacher. I have a church to preach in, but you've got a church, the church of your home, your living room. You have the church of your dining room table. You have the chapel of your car. And you know that there are some conversations that go on as you go back and forth. Amen. So we all need to see and hear today from the Lord some, if you will, principles for powerful preaching. Because all of us are to preach and to teach and to witness to Christ in many, many different circumstances. Now, with that in mind, I want you to note today four basic principles that the Lord shows us in his own preaching ministry. And the Lord can give us these same things in our life. Now, the first principle is that powerful preaching is personal. It's personal. The text says that they came to Capernaum on the Sabbath, and Jesus entered the synagogue and he taught. Now, just as an aside, I want to just say that some of us in this very church have stood in the ruins of this very synagogue. In fact, I know you all read my blog every day. But in case you missed it, there's actually a picture of our tour group standing in the ruins of this very synagogue. And you can actually go there and stand in the place where Jesus gave this sermon. The synagogue is in ruins, but it's there. And so what an amazing thing, you know, to just stand in that very place where the Lord preached some of his best sermons and where he gave the great bread of life discourse. And so again, what a profound thing. And you can look there and see your pastor and a number of our parishioners that I see here today standing there in this very synagogue. Now, it says they came to Capernaum and they were there and they entered the synagogue and Jesus taught. Now, the people, it says, were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as having authority, not like the scribes. Now, a couple of things. First of all, you notice that he's distinguished from the scribes. The scribes were famous for just quoting each other and playing it safe. As Rabbi Eleazar has said, as Rabbi Shmuley has indicated, and they would just quote each other. And they would quote the safe sayings of the day. But Jesus preached with authority. Now, the Greek word that underlies this, remember, the Bible is written, the New Testament, in Greek. And therefore, the Greek word that is translated here, authority, is exousia, which means, most literally, to preach out of one's own substance or experience. You see the vision, right? You're not just quoting what somebody else said or a slogan that you heard or a song or something. You're quoting what you know yourself to be true. And yes, we need to quote scripture, and there are helpful sayings, and we ought to read the lives of the saints and to quote from them. Yes, yes, yes. But at some point, a powerful preacher has also got to be able to say that what the church has always proclaimed, what the scriptures have always proclaimed, I personally know to be true. And I now proclaim it to you out of my own experience. In the laboratory of my own life, I have tested God's word and I have found and know it to be true. And that is what it means to speak and preach and teach and witness with authority. You are a first-hand witness to the truth of God's word. You're not just saying what somebody else said. You're saying, this is what the Lord is doing in my life. And everything that I read in his word is true. Now listen, The Word of God, teaching to the church, that's our core. And don't go and invent your own religion. Stay with the text, but be able to be personal in your witness to it. I have come to see and know that this text, that this teaching, that this miracle that's being worked is real, because these things are changing my life and happening in my life. So you see, parents, one of your tasks is to preach to your children. And it's one thing to say, well, the church says, or Monsignor Pope said, or the Bible says, and those are all very precious sources. But in the end, and here's what I have to say. You see, what the church teaches is true. What the Bible proclaims to us is true. You can say to your son or daughter, dear, it's changing my life. I've seen my life changed. I'm seeing and experiencing that I have the power to overcome things I never thought I could, that I'm beginning to see sins put down, that I'm becoming more joyful and more confident. And I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, can you say that to your children, to your coworkers? Can you say that to your brother and sister? Can you say that to the person whose name you gave that you're praying for? Get your witness together. Really explore what the Lord is doing in your life. Do you know that you are the world's greatest expert? I said there is no greater expert. You are the world's greatest expert at what God is doing in your life. Now get in touch with it and speak to others. Not just what's happening at some other person's life, but what's happening in your life. And so it is that to personally testify is at the heart of powerful preaching, powerful witness. It is to be able not only to quote the sources as we should, but to be able to do so personally, exousia, out of my own being, my own substance, I'm announcing to you the truth of the gospel. Amen, brothers and sisters. Powerful witness. Now, not only is powerful witness and preaching personal, but it's also provocative. Notice it says, the text says that as Jesus is preaching, people are filled with joy. Some of them are just excited, they're thrilled. Here's a man who doesn't just quote Rabbi so-and-so and play it safe. Here's a man who has actually met God. And by the way, who is God? And Jesus can speak about his Father not just as someone he's heard about, but someone he knows. And he speaks with authority because he knows the Father. And they're joyful. Someone who has actually met God is telling us what he knows. Not just what he knows about, but who he knows. Are you praying with me? So some are joyful. And the Lord's preaching provokes a joy, an excitement, a zeal, a thrill. They're running all over Galilee saying, someone has come from God. And oh, can he teach us about the Lord? But you see, there's also someone. There's always someone. I said, there's always someone, church. And he's there in the synagogue, and he's got a demon. Or two or three or four. And he cries out in anger. What are you talking about up there? You're hurting me. You're offending me. What you say sounds hateful. I think you've come to destroy me. He's angry. But notice, you see, Jesus is provoking a response, isn't he? Whether it's of joy or whether it's of anger. And you see, the difference is this man has some demons. Now, I want to just say something. I don't want to get too personal now, but we all got a few demons. I didn't say you're outright possessed. Your head is spinning around. And I didn't say that. I just said we've all got a few demons in this church. And you know, sometimes when we hear the Word of God, we're not quite ready for what we hear. And those demons inside start to shake and rattle and roll, and they start to convulse us a little bit, and we start to get a little anxious and say, what's that preacher saying up there, and who does he think he is, and start to get mad. Now, church, just know this, that if you authentically preach a word, and you authentically reach out, some are going to be glad, but some are going to be mad, and some are going to be sad. But whether you're mad or you're sad or you're glad, just know this. The Word of God, powerfully proclaimed, provokes. That is to say, it calls forth a response. Mad or sad or glad. And just realize that sometimes in the same group of people, you might get the same reaction. Or you might get all three of those reactions. Mad, sad, or glad. Great homily, Father. I was on top of the world. Father, what were you talking about up there? All in the same Sunday. It just so happens. But you see, again, it does not mean that the Word of God, let's just take someone who gets mad or angry or sad. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the Word of God or that you have done anything wrong. Sometimes it means you did something right. Now, I don't know about you, but I've occasionally been to the doctor, and the doctor didn't say what I wanted to hear. Oh, you're looking great, my friend. You're in good health, and everything's fine. Sometimes that doctor has to say, you need to lose a little weight. And, you know, we need to look at some of these things in your life here. And, you know, you've had the same stories, some of you, amen? No, I know you're all a picture of health, but, you know, listen, a good doctor will speak the truth even if the patient gets a little upset or offended or hurt or embarrassed or ashamed, amen? A good doctor will speak the truth. And so it is that Jesus is like that. He's a good doctor. And he will speak the truth, and some will react with joy. They'll be glad. Some are going to be mad. You know, he got a few people mad. Look up on that cross. And some will be sad. But I pray God is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Amen. But you see, again, realize that in effectively preaching, if you're going to be a powerful preacher and witness, you're going to call forth reactions. And you'll get joy, and you'll get some pushback, and you'll get excitement, and you'll get negative reactions, but just keep preaching. The Word of God has to do its work. Don't give up. And we're going to see Jesus doesn't give up either. But realize, again, the problem is not because, you know, sometimes we think that because someone gets mad at us that we did something wrong. Doesn't mean that at all necessarily. Now look, don't go looking for a fight. That's not the point, right? But just realize that even when you speak the truth in love, even with great humility, there's just going to be some people who don't want to hear it. And there's just some folks who, because they're accustomed to the darkness, find the light harsh. And there's nothing wrong with the light. It's an internal problem they're still struggling with. Maybe they've got some demons. You see, again, this man cries out with a demon. Now, good preaching has a way of driving out demons. Demons of ignorance, demons of fear, demons of lust, demons of greed or a lack of forgiveness. We've all got whatever demons we're struggling with. But church, the Lord's power can drive those things out, but it isn't always easy. And the first thing is to provoke a response. So again, if the Word of God is effectively proclaimed, you may be mad, you may be sad, or you may be glad, but you're not going to be neutral. You will not go away from the effective Word of God proclaimed unchanged. Amen? Now, not only is powerful preaching personal and provocative, but it is productive. Productive. That is to say, notice again, this demon cries out in the synagogue. And Jesus does not give up. Jesus says, oops, I guess I made a mistake. Somebody's upset. And say, I better sit down now and be quiet, or maybe I'll just apologize. Jesus stays with this man, doesn't he? He doesn't say, oh, take him out of here. Give him the bum's rush. Show him the door. He lets that man stay in. And he continues to work with him. Follow me now, brothers and sisters. Because you know, some of us got to stay in the game a little longer than we might feel comfortable. Amen? Now listen, the text says, Jesus speaks to the man, to the demon in the man, and says, quiet, come out of him. And the convulsing begins and the shaking and a loud cry and the demon comes out, and the man is set free. Church, I said the man is set free. Now, you see, what happens is Jesus stays in the conversation with them. Now, realize these gospel stories are compressed and in miniature. And this all may happen in 5 minutes for Jesus. Most of us are going to have to stay in the game a little longer, I'm afraid to say. Now, first of all, let's start with ourselves. First of all, we got to stay in the game. That is to say, you and I have to keep coming back and hearing the Word of God over and over again. And you know, sometimes we're going to be a little bit annoyed, sometimes we're going to be a little upset, and sometimes we're going to be joyful. But I want you to know, just keep staying with the Lord. Come here every Sunday, let the Lord preach a word to you, pray to Him every day, read His word every day, but keep allowing the Word of God to have its effect. It takes time for most of us. I can just tell you, church, I've had some demons that had to be driven out of me, church, and it took time. In fact, I'm going to say to you, church, that as you know, one of the demons that afflicted me was anxiety and fear. And it led me to have a nervous breakdown. I got so bad at one point. I was in the week in the hospital, 30 days to recuperate, and then I had to go into extended spiritual direction, psychotherapy. And I want you to know something, church. Right now, at this stage in my life, after wrestling with that problem for over 15 years, I can just say that I don't get too anxious about most things anymore. And it didn't just happen overnight. It took 12 to 15 years of extended daily work, praying every day, learning to grow in trust, listening to you, my beloved congregation, sing me into greater faith and trust and love of God. I can't tell you what an important impact this very faith community has been for me in my journey. The wonderful songs that we sing, the praise, learning to trust God, spending time with His Word, your witness to me of your own struggles and your own overcoming. Oh, church, it took time. But all through it, God's Word was having its effect. And Jesus, through you, through the Word proclaimed, through the sacraments, through psychotherapy, through all the things I did, spiritual direction, Jesus was standing before me and saying to the demon in me, "Quiet, come out of him." And God can do that for every one of us. I don't know what demons you're struggling with right now. I'm just going to tell you, I am His witness that the Lord can quiet every demon, tell that demon to be gone. And church, it may not happen in 5 minutes like it did in this gospel. It may take a little longer. But I'm going to ask you, stay in the game. Stay with the Lord. Keep listening. His Word has a cumulative effect, and I am a witness. Now, I want to also say that we're trying to reach some others with the Word of God. There's some empty spots in this church that need to be filled, amen? And all of you gave me a name that you're going to walk with and pray with, and you've also got some other family members, and you've got people you're concerned about, and I'm just going to tell you, stay with it. Stay with it, church. Keep praying, keep talking, don't give up. Jesus did not say when this demon-possessed man cried out, "Away with him." Jesus did not say, "Oops, I guess I made a mistake," and apologize. Jesus stayed in the conversation with him. Are you willing to stay in the conversation with your loved ones? I'm so glad folks never gave up on me. I'm glad my mother and father didn't give up. I'm glad priests and religious. I'm glad teachers. I'm glad that so many folks said, "We got to stay in a conversation with this guy. He's a hard case." But they did. I'm praying and thanking God for them every day. And church, we got to stay in the conversation. Some of the folks we're praying for are stubborn. Some of them have a demon of ignorance or of fear or of lust or of greed or of just plain laziness. Some of them have any number of struggles with any number of demons. We don't say that by way of judgment. We've all got demons. But the Lord, through you, wants to keep working with them to say to them, "Quiet, come out of the man, come out of the woman," to that demon. And the Lord can do that through you. So you see, powerful preaching is personal. powerful. We're talking about what we know, not just what we heard somebody else say. Powerful preaching is provocative. It sometimes means we got to be a little bit of tension in the relationship. Powerful preaching is producing. And the final thing, and I've really been saying it all along, so I shouldn't have to spend much time repeating it, but simply this, that powerful preaching is persevering. Powerful preaching is staying with that cycle. Because you know, sometimes when you first approach someone, they're mad. Then they get sad. We're praying not for depression, but a godly sorrow. Amen. They says, you know, I'm coming to realize my life is kind of a mess, and I need to change some things, and I'm not ready to change, and I'm not sure how to change. And there's a kind of a sadness, a godly sorrow that says, I need help. And the Lord says, I'm fine and glad you realize that. So the person may start out mad and then give way to a kind of a sadness, but then comes the gladness as God begins to deliver and God begins to produce the powerful effect of His Word. Church, it's a process. Sometimes it takes time. First of all, for me personally, and for you. Likewise, for the person you're working with and praying for, and for your beloved, who you've been trying to bring back to God. And the Lord knows what they're struggling with right now. Now, just another little personal sort of story. If you were to get back in a time machine and go back to my, sophomore year in high school, you'd have seen a very sullen young man with long hair on his shoulders sitting in the back of the church with his arms crossed. What's that priest up there wasting my time for? Look at me now, right? All right. What does he think he knows, you know? I know a few things. What does he think he knows? He doesn't listen to rock music. You would have seen a sullen, mad, and angry young man. And little by little, my arms came unfolded. And little by little, I began to see that what my parents were saying, what those priests were saying was right, and that some of the things I was doing and some of my attitudes weren't helpful. And little by little, I began to go into that kind of sadness, a godly sorrow that says, you know, I need to do better with my life. And then I became glad. See? And that's the cycle, isn't it? And you see, it may often repeat in our life about certain issues. We get one area fixed up. Thank you, Lord. Mad, sad, glad. Got it all fixed. Oops. Got another thing. Oops. Mad, sad, glad. There may be that cycle. But stay with the Lord and stay with the individual that the Lord has called you to. Stay, persevere. So again today, powerful preaching is personal, is provocative, is producing, and is persevering. Now I want to finish by mentioning a song. It's really a song from a movie that most of you, I think, have seen, so I think I can talk about the scene and at least register with a good number of you. And if you don't know the movie clip I'm speaking of, all of you who read my blog every day can see the movie clip. It's from The Color Purple. And it's that beautiful scene at the end of the movie, toward the end of the movie. And you might remember that one of the main characters is Shug. And shall we say that Shug has walked a little on the wild side. And she is on that wild side, and off in the distance, her daddy, who's a preacher, is in his church community. And he's calling them to remember the story of the prodigal son, how it's always good to return to the Lord, no matter how far you've strayed. And then the choir strikes up a song, and God is trying to tell you something. And suddenly, Shug, who's off in the distance, hears that song. And she starts to pick up the theme right there in the bar. People are like, "Whoa, that's not a song for a bar." And then, like the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, she leads all of them to the church singing that song. And she comes to the back of the church. And she and her daddy have been alienated for years. And that song keeps singing in the background. God's trying to tell you something. She runs up and she's reconciled to her daddy. and he to her, because he had some demons that need to be set loose too, amen? Demons of unforgiveness, demons of harsh judgment. She's reconciled to him and he to her. And if you know that movie, there's actually five different reconciliations that are taking place all at one time. You see, because Celie's husband is finally letting go of his wrath and his bitterness and his terrible sinfulness, Celie herself is being moved. The preacher and his daughter and all these demons are being driven out. And you know what's happening? It's all because the power of a sung word. God is trying to tell you something right now. Oh, he's trying. His word has power. And if we order our steps in his word, our lives can be changed. And that was a long movie, and it took a long time to get to that scene. And a lot of sinning going on. But finally it came to pass. A word of God went forth. It got caught up on the breeze. It went into the ear of a woman who was finally ready to hear. She had been so mad. Then she got sad. And now she's ready to be glad. And she ran into that church. And she embraced her daddy. And they reconciled. And so many good things just came because someone was powerfully singing a word from God. Don't ever underestimate what powerful preaching can do. It can change lives. It can change hearts. It can even change me and you. Church, the power, the portrait of powerful preaching today from Jesus, it can change the world. God is trying to tell you something right now. Amen.